Hola! Welcome to Speaking Spanglish with the one and only KB. I am super excited to have you all dive into this show with me. We'll be talking about all the positives and the negatives that come with being a child of immigrants. We're also going to touch on what it's like learning how to navigate between two cultures, and the challenges of finding one's place and identity in this ever-changing world. ¿Están listos? Let's get started. The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California and Penguin Radio. Hey everybody, it is your girl KB coming at you with another episode of Speaking Spanglish. We are on episode 5, so we are diving into what it means to be first gen today. A little disclaimer though, I am slightly sick. I don't know if you guys can hear it in my voice, probably, but just bear with me for this episode today, guys. We are going to be getting into some good content, so hopefully this raspiness is not too distracting for anybody. But yeah, let's just dive right in. So what does it mean to be first gen? What is it in terms of college and then just overall? So overall, when you're talking about being first gen, it just means the first generation in the United States, right? I guess technically you could be first gen in any country. You're the first generation to be born there, to grow up in an area, right? Say you migrated from Morocco to Spain. Maybe you are first generation Spanish. In my case, I am first generation American, although I prefer to be referred to as Chicana or Latina. That's just my own preference, but I am first gen American. So what comes with this? What happens when you are first gen American? There are certain responsibilities that you realize your peers do not have the way you do when you're growing up. Just a few examples, right? So you end up being probably the person who's calling to make those doctor's appointments, who calls to talk to any teachers about school stuff. You schedule the practices for your siblings, most likely. Yeah, you'll be the one who handles a lot of business at home because your parents, unfortunately, don't speak the language yet. So my parents didn't speak English until they were here for about probably 5 years that they really started to get the language. But even then, it was difficult for them to communicate thoroughly enough to where someone wouldn't get confused by something that they said, right? So they had my sister doing a lot of the planning at home in terms of like businessy type things. Being first gen also means that you learn as you go that you are different from your peers, right? I remember growing up and going to school with my very Mexican lunch and comparing it to my peers as PB&Js or, you know, turkey sandwiches and being like, why am I so different than they are? I remember distinct conversations that I had with my friends where they'd be like, what is that? And I'd be like, caldo de pollo. And they'd be like, what? Why would you bring like chicken soup to school? And I was like, well, it's normal at my house, right? You slowly learn that you are different. And in my case, it was okay. I didn't mind being different. I didn't mind showing off my culture. But for a lot of people, you end up having to hide a part of you that really should be highlighted, in my opinion. because you feel different. You feel scared and you feel like people are not going to accept you as much if you wear your colors proudly, basically. But let's transition into being a first-gen college student. Now, this can apply to more than just Latinos, right? This is not, or Latinx people. It is not something that only happens to children of immigrants. This happens, or people are first-generation college students no matter what, right? Maybe your parents just didn't get the opportunity to go to college. They grew up here in the United States and they just chose a different path and you end up being the first to go to college. I know plenty of people who are not Latinx who are first gen students. And I know a lot of people who are like first generation Filipino students who their parents came from the Philippines and they grew up here. And they were the first to go to college, right? It's not just tied into my own Hispanic culture, but I will be focusing on that because that is what I know, and I don't want to misrepresent anyone else's culture. It'd be really cool, though, to learn about how being a first-generation college student in another culture feels like, what the responsibilities are that come with that, and yeah, we'll dive right into this. So when you make that decision that you want to go to college for Latino students, it's often pretty early on, right? You see the way your parents have struggled to maintain your home, to, you know, provide for the family. And you say, like, I appreciate all the hard work that they've done, but I don't want to work as hard as they have had to, right? That's my own personal experience. I saw the way my dad worked so hard out in the logging industry here. My mom worked as a cook at one of the restaurants here in town for a while. She cleaned houses. She was a waitress. You know, I saw them working so hard to provide for us. And like I said, I appreciated it so much, but I didn't want to have to work that hard. And I thought to myself, the only way I could avoid that route would be going to college. And that was probably like fifth, sixth grade that I really made the decision that I wanted to. My oldest sister went to St. Mary's College of California in Moraga. And she was really like the person I based myself off of. I was like, if she can do it, I can do it. We're pretty much the same. We come from the same background. Why can't I go into that as well, right? I know I don't want to work as much as my parents and I want to maybe have the opportunity to travel and see some of the world like my sister did. So I'm gonna follow suit. Well, my other sister also went to college. She went to the University of San Diego in San Diego and really enjoyed her time there too. But I got to see what it was like to be a little bit more stressed and to see the homesickness that comes with being farther away from home, and I started to notice that I was like a little more nervous about going to college. By that time, I was probably a freshman, sophomore in high school, and started to reserve myself a little more. And it's a big reason why I chose Dominican, because it is not as far as where my middle sister went. And I was able to come home if I needed to and see my family if it was necessary, right? So, you know, that's when I started to decide, okay, I know I want to go to college. I know I want to leave. I just don't know how far yet. But what is it like navigating the application process, right? So this is probably for many people the first time they look at something like this. Whether it is scholarships or FAFSA or the actual applications to college, the Common App, right? Or maybe even, you know, having to take the SATs, the ACTs, which is less common now. I love that. I wish that was the same when I was in high school. But these are new things that, you know, you've never had to experience, you never had to sign up for. And luckily, in my case, I had two older sisters that had gone through it. granted, things have changed in the years, right? I mean, it was a little different when I was applying, but I had people I could go to and be like, hey, do you know what this means? And what is this? And they'd be like, oh yeah, that's this and this and this. And look, if you look at this website, it's here and this and this. I had resources. A lot of my peers didn't. And for many of them, it was a really, really daunting experience to all of a sudden be applying to college. I was also lucky enough to be a part of the AVID program at my high school. And shout out to AVID for helping us all apply to schools, because that stuff was hard. I mean, like I said, I had two older people who were able to help me, but even then it was super daunting to open up the Common App and navigate that website or open up FAFSA and learn how to input your parents' taxes. I had never even looked at a tax paper before putting it in for my FAFSA. And luckily, like I said, we had AVID, we had other resources at school, but when you are the first in your family doing this, you can't go to your mom and your dad or your sisters or your brothers and say, hey, what does this mean on this tax form? And where does it go in the FAFSA? And do I have to fill out this part of this? Does this apply to our family? A lot of times you have to figure that out on your own, or call your tax person and figure that out, and call your counselor to have them help you through something. You take on that role yourself as the adult almost in the situation. So that's definitely something that is pretty scary for a lot of first generation college students. And if you're a first generation college student who is Latino or Latinx, oftentimes your parents don't speak the language, don't speak English, so they can't even interpret something easily the way someone who speaks English does, to be like, okay, maybe I don't know exactly what this is, but I could help you figure it out. Latinx parents who only speak Spanish won't be able to do that the way white parents or people who speak English can for their children. Now, let's say you've applied, right? You've gone through the process, you did it all, you made it through everything. Now comes the scary part of waiting for acceptances and waiting for scholarships, right? In my case, there was a certain expectation of what colleges I would get into and which ones I wouldn't get into. And I had to accept the fact that although I was a pretty well-rounded student, by the end of high school, my grades were not as beautiful as they should have been, as they could have been, now that I look back and think. But that meant that when I was getting my acceptances and my rejections and my wait lists, my parents saw some of the schools I didn't get into and were a bit disappointed. Now, they were never not proud of me. They were always, always supporting me, but I could tell that they almost expected me to get into schools like Santa Barbara and to schools like Santa Clara or Santa Cruz, which are all good schools, and maybe I could have gotten into them. Maybe I didn't fit the requirement that they wanted for that year or whatever. But I didn't. I didn't get into the schools. And so my parents were like, what is going on? How come you didn't get into the schools? And I finally had to fess up to them. Hey, I didn't have the best grades junior year, right? I struggled a lot with being in my statistics class. I had a lot of trouble. But because of that same feeling of like shame that you would get from disappointing your parents, I was scared to ask for help. I was scared to open up and ask for tutors. Luckily, I did have people who were there who saw me struggling and said, hey, we're going to help you out. And I ended up not getting the absolute worst grades, but they weren't the grades that I wanted and weren't the grades that that could have pushed me into these higher schools. Dominican is great, but they typically accept a lot more students compared to the more competitive schools, right? And that's something that I've noticed is true for a lot of my peers as well, is that their parents, you know, expected... It's funny, there's a spectrum. For some families, it goes from, I don't expect you to go to college at all. You are going to stay here and you're going to work and you're going to help pay rent and provide for your siblings. And then in other cases, it's no, the expectation is that you are going to college and you are going to be successful and you are going to be the most successful that you can be because we raised you to be this way. And, you know, it like there's people in between those two extremes, but I was definitely more on the we expect you to do your best side, and you know that comes with a lot of stress. But I learned to cope with that, and I did get into college, and I am almost going to be a senior now, which is super crazy to me. Shout out to all of my juniors right now. Also, shout out to all the seniors who just did their capstones. Good job, guys. That will be me next year. I am so scared. But yeah, this is kind of the thought process before going into college, is that am I going to disappoint my parents? Am I going to be a shame for the family? Or am I going to be a super successful businesswoman, lawyer? You know, what am I going to be, and how am I supposed to make my parents proud? Okay, but what happens after you do get into college? What happens after you're gone from home and you are out in the open, spreading your wings? Are you scared? Are you nervous? Because I was. You know, there's a lot of negatives and there's a lot of positives of leaving home for college. There's just, in general, you know, of leaving home, of growing up, a lot of negatives and positives. But one thing that I will say is definitely a positive is the freedom that comes with leaving home. I love my parents to death. I mean, my mom is awesome, but she is very strict at home. Although comparatively to other parents, she's relatively easygoing on certain things. But there are certain things that, you know, it wasn't okay for me to do at home the way, you know, a lot of my white peers did. There was not really that much partying in high school for me. I mean, there was, but it was a smaller, you know, they had to know the parents. They had to know where I was going exactly. Whereas I know a lot of my other friends were like, bye, mom, I'm leaving. See you tomorrow. And it was, you know, no questions asked. That was not it. At my home, it was, ¿a dónde vas? ¿Con quién vas? ¿A qué horas vienes? ¿Dónde están tus papás? ¿Ahí van a estar? It, you know, all the questions that you get before leaving home. But that freedom that you get when you leave home, when you don't have those questions being asked to you every 10 seconds, comes with a price. You have to learn how to manage yourself, how to manage your new responsibilities, and how to get along with other people. You've grown up, you've lived in your home your whole life, you know the way your sisters and brothers act, your parents act. Now you're living out in the world and interacting with new people, right? Well, you have to learn how to navigate this new world and these new freedoms. And sometimes you go a little crazy with it. I know a lot of students who get this newfound freedom and they're like, yes, like I'm gonna go crazy. I'm gonna party. I'm gonna drink. I'm gonna do drugs. I'm gonna do all this stuff, and end up hitting rock bottom pretty quickly in their, you know, trajectory and their time at college or time away from home, and maybe eventually I have to come back. I think if I could give my parents any advice, or give parents in general any advice, is give your students and your children a little bit of leeway as they're growing up, so that when they do find this newfound freedom, they are not going ham right away. I didn't. Like I said, I did get to go to some parties. I wasn't completely shut into my home. So I understood what it was like to, you know, go out and experience time with friends. But I know a lot of people who didn't and had that experience that I just described. One thing that I do want to talk about that's a little bit more serious and is a negative aspect of leaving home is sort of the anxiety, fear, and depression that can come from leaving your comfort zone. I know I definitely experienced this in a different way than most of my peers. My dad did pass away pretty early on into my first semester of freshman year, and so I actually had to come home. And I realized that I didn't get that same, you know, homesick experience in that first semester. That came later for me in the second semester, once all of my peers were, you know, acquainted with each other and they knew there's the professors at school, they knew the lunch ladies, you know, they were all accustomed to being there, and I was not. So I kind of got this second wave of depression and fear and anxiety in going back to school that second semester and realizing that I, you know, was also pretty much alone in these feelings. There wasn't that collective anxiety from the freshman class. It was my own. And I had to learn to cope with that. So that meant reaching out and asking for help when it was necessary. And I was lucky enough to have my best friend there at school with me. So she was always willing to take a second and step out of class with me or take me for a drive if I was feeling super down, right? But like I said, my case was different. This depression and anxiety and fear that comes in that first semester, I've talked to my friends about, and we've had conversations where they said, yeah, in those first few days, I was like, I want to go home. I don't want to be here anymore. And it's really difficult to get over that hump. I know a lot of students that came home because they didn't like that fear and that anxiety. But I also know a lot of students who did and have made the best of friends, have had the best of adventures while at school. So it really is about learning to cope with that fear, that depression, that anxiety, learning to find the other people who feel the same way and learning to go through it together. Another aspect, though, that does tie into the fear section would be more of, you know, the fear of disappointing your parents, of not living up to their expectations, of not living up to your own expectations, and those of society. This is something I'm still working on right now, is learning to realize that I am doing the best that I can. I'm not trying to impress anybody else. I am trying to get through these semesters as best as I can, pass my classes and graduate and get my bachelor's degree and move on. I can't live my life trying to fulfill these expectations of my mom, of society, and I have to learn to give myself easier expectations, you know, reach those goals and then move past and give yourself a harder goal. Don't start off by bringing yourself down because you couldn't automatically, you know, get that A in that class. You are transitioning into an entirely new lifestyle. It is okay to fail a little bit. I think that's something really important that we don't talk about enough as college students. But I want to talk about what it's like to be a student right now during COVID. So how did this affect me? I had to come home. Obviously, most of us at Dominican had to come home. We had to transition into online learning, into Zooming all the time or Google Meets and having meetings online. Maybe you work remotely. I am lucky enough to still have a job that I have to go to right now, but a lot of people do not. And for some people, this was awesome. This was like, I can lay in bed all day. I don't have to worry about anything, about getting up, changing, showering, you know. But for me, it was like, oh my gosh, all of a sudden I'm back into my mom's house. I'm having to ask for permission to go out again. I'm having to, you know, have my job here again. Whereas at school, it was me and me only who I had to speak to. Here, there are more authorities to get past, right? But honestly, I'm not doing any worse school-wise here. And I've talked to a lot of my peers where they're like, I'm not terrible in school. I've been managing okay. But it is, I think, a big, big change for a lot of people to have to come home and be in that environment again. I think one thing that the school could have done a little bit better job of from the beginning is supporting students who may not have had the best life at home, and maybe reaching out, hey, do you need Wi-Fi? Do you need access to a printer? Do you need all these things? Because a lot of students do not have that when they are at home. You know, they go to college because they're trying to better their lives, because at home they really have no support for anything, right? So I think Dominican and schools in general could have done a little better job handling that. But it is what it is. We're well into it now. I think we are almost done with, this would be the third semester where we have been in quarantine, working from home. So we all had to cope. We all had to learn. And we are slowly but surely adjusting back into the regular lifestyle. And I hope everyone is able to finish the semester off really well. I do want to drop some resources for first gen students. So I think it's really important that we have these if you are an incoming freshman to any college. I think it's great to have these in your back pocket, right? One of them is the firstinthefamily.org. They list a bunch of resources and links that you can go to. They have planning checklists, tips for transitioning, videos and inspirations that you can look at and say, you know, I am that first gen student, but I have support. I have people here who I can go to. So there's that one. There is also the firstgennaspa.org. This website is the Center for First Generation Student Success, and they basically tell you what programs are offered, what services are offered through them, and then they offer, you know, like research opportunities, how you can engage. There are newsletters and blogs that you can look at, because, you know, it is tough to be a first gen student, and it's tough to be a first gen Latinx student, first gen, you know, Filipino, first gen anything. So look out for these resources. Grab a hold of them. Like I said, it is the firstinthefamily.org and firstgen.naspa.org. Those are just two of many that you could look into. There's also scholarships for first-gen students. So much out there to help us, guys, to help us get through college and really to get through life. So please, please reach out and enjoy your time at school as much as possible. Obviously, right now we are in this pandemic, but once we're back, live it up, because you have worked hard to get to where you are. You have killed it. So keep it up, guys. And thanks for listening to episode 5 of Speaking Spanglish with your girl, KB.